the WHM on screen, everybody. I'm Andrew Jupin alongside Steven Sadak and Eric Siska. We're here talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
You forgot colon.
I don't know that there is a colon.
Wait, there's no colon?
I think it's just like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one line, and then the next line is just Out of the Shadows.
It's like Star Trek Into Darkness?
I think that's exactly what we're doing.
Wow, well, that just changed my opinion.
Well, I guess when you have a verb in it, you can do it, right? Well, if you're into darkness, you're out of the shadows.
Right. And I guess they are indeed out of the shadows in this movie.
Did they pass each other? Was Star Trek going into the shadows as they were coming out?
that's a good call. Star Trek went into the shadows like a few years ago,
right. And
then like what came out was Ninja Turtles.
Wait, they were living together?
Yeah, dude, living in sin.
I could go with that, man.
I am sure that there is something, like I'm sure there's 1,000 pages somewhere you could print out about an adventure about Star Trek and the Ninja Turtles together.
That'd be
a fan story. I guarantee it. Maybe they're fucking, maybe they're not.
They're definitely fucking.
Oh, man.
If it's a fan story,
here's like Michelangelo eating Scotty's asshole for a while.
Sure.
After Kirk swoops in on April, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's the move.
That's the move. And then Michelangelo doesn't know what to do, so he's going to get back at Kirk by eating out Scotty's a-hole.
Well, we just lost the audience, so we can keep going. This one, the rest of it's like just for us.
How would that get him back?
Just out of curiosity. Sick revenge play.
You know, just maybe.
Well, here's the thing about this movie. I will say up front, I think I accidentally liked this movie.
I'm kind of in the same boat because I went in wanting to hate it. Okay, everyone?
Now, here's the deal. And I'm going to put this out to the audience as maybe the way we'll gauge this.
Oh, you can't hear them.
they'll have to let us know on what's known as social media.
Just okay.
Yell really loud.
We hated that first movie. There's like an in-the-vault WHM commentary on that first movie that like we kind of slacked on getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if there's interest in that, if you'd buy that, let us know. And maybe we'll put it out if there's enough interest.
Because that movie is terrible.
And that's where I thought this was going to be. Like more of like the turtles, like all the turtles just wanting to fuck April O'Neil's brains out, right. which is all that first movie is.
The one thing to be careful about this commentary is there's probably a lot of presumptive, like, when Donald Trump drops out of the race kind of jokes. Like, you know, it's been sitting on the shelf for a year. So,
well,
like,
I mean, we're usually a little more evergreen than that. But
sure,
I don't know.
Sure. But yeah, it is. That has been turned down. There's like one or two like flirtatious Michelangelo comments.
That's it. I think it's like two. And I was like, once the credits hit, I was like, oh, he's not talking about like his little turtle boner in this movie? Okay.
Yeah, the first one was kind of like it's a little bit of gritty and dark, but I want to use my turtle dick.
It's disgusting.
It's abhorrent. And this movie, I thought was like way better because it was like, hey, this is a cartoon. Let's be a cartoon.
It's a kid's movie. That's exactly the thing that I realized like 25 minutes in. I was like, oh, it's literally just a kid's movie.
And
like,
the first one, it kind of isn't.
No, it's not. The first one's trying to split the difference. This one still tries to split the difference a little bit.
Well, it's interesting. I feel like this is a movie that works for kids now and people like us who were kids in 1989. You know what I mean? Like, it caters to the nostalgia of Turtles. Because it uses all those characters that we missed from that first movie, like that first new movie where it was like, it's just Shredder and it's just, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, and then this movie, it's like, you got Bebop and Rocksteady, who are terrible, but they're there. You got Krang, who's terrible, but he's there.
Shredder!
I wish that's what Shredder sounded like. I was just informed that Krang, I wish that's what Krang sounded like. I was just informed that Krang was voiced by Brad Garrett, which I didn't even know.
Raymond. Mom's been giving me shit at Dimension X.
Raymond, your dog went to the bathroom in the Technodrome. I keep telling you, Raymond, you gotta put down the pee pads in the Technodrome.
Duh.
Hey, Raymond, where are your Aryan kids? Are they in the Technodrome for some reason?
Well, I was weird because I just saw Brad Garrett murder a police officer on SVU's season finale.
He's getting around that Brad Garrett.
He was good in Fargo, I guess.
Yeah, I liked Brad Garrett in Fargo.
Yeah, but like he doesn't work for this role. Apparently they fired Fred Armisen. I don't know why.
Sounds fine.
But I was sitting here ready to bust out my Krang.
Yeah.
No phone ringing.
Maybe they should have called, because your Krang's better than the Krang we're dealing with in this movie.
I think it is.
Well, because it's Brad Garrett, so it's very deep, but he's also trying to go high, too, so it's going out like this.
It's so weird.
It's a weird voice. It's unpleasant. I also like how Shredder meets Krang kind of accidentally. Like, Krang kidnaps him in the middle of his, like, Dark Knight-esque jailbreak that he has.
Well, it's like... very Dark Knight, by the way.
And he doesn't throw up. Like, how right. on... You get introduced to a big, fat fucking alien that sounds like Brad Garrett.
It looks like a arm-flapping, crawling, talking ball sack.
Yep.
That's sweating somehow.
Now, how they're introduced, I thought was actually kind of fine, because Tyler Perry has, what was his character's name?
Baxter Stockman, of course.
Exactly. Who I thought was actually pretty good in this movie.
I think so, too.
Are there any racists out there that are like, oh, Baxter Stockman's supposed to be white? Oh.
Man, listen to this, everyone. Settle round, church group. I got to tell you what happened to me last weekend. I took my whole fucking family to see Ninja Turtles 2 Out of the Shadows. I was excited for my most favorite of all the Turtles characters, Dr. Baxter Stockman. And when I get into the theater, what do I see on screen? Madea herself staring my fucking family in the face. Last time I checked, Baxter Stockman ain't no black man.
What's next, a transgendered rat king? Like, come on! Where's America going to?
Oh, wow.
Like, shut the fuck. No one could ever care
about...
That's
why we gotta fucking make America great again. You're telling me you hired an Irishman to play Rocksteady the Rhinoceros? You gotta be fucking shitting me, church group.
I guarantee you that same guy is still upset about a black bebop as well, even though that couldn't make any more sense in the world. I mean, he was just a warthog. I mean,
was he white in the show?
He was a warthog. Right. I just feel like that doesn't have a race.
But...
You're right, Steve. Warthogs don't have a race. Yes. They're a race of warthogs.
Tyler Perry did a great job, and I never really liked the performance by him before.
No.
And he's good in this. He's good in Gone Girl. I thought he's pretty fantastic in that
movie. Oh, I forgot he's in Gone Girl. Yeah, he's good in that.
So what he's doing is like, it's like, oh, we got to... He like teleports Shredder. I think that he's just working on like teleportation technology. And
yes.
And it splits time and space and sends Shredder into... Dimension X.
Big
and
I flub.
Really appreciate. Now this sounds really stupid.
Okay, go ahead.
I really appreciate that they had Dimension X. They had a different dimension. I was just imagining, they're going to make Krang like an alien or some such.
Right, right, right.
Did they
right.
say Dimension X in the movie?
Oh, big time.
Do they?
Oh, they do?
I know they say another dimension. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure either Krang says it or Baxter Stockman says it.
I like at the end of the movie, like Donatello has a lot of bullshit magic computer stuff going on.
Sure.
My favorite one of which is like he can like by looking at footage of the invasion, he's like, oh, that thing is called the Technodrome, and the invader is called Krang? ?
I was like, right. Yeah, how are you getting these fun facts? These popcorn facts, Donatello?
How could you even, like, if he's using his hacking skills?
Uh-huh.
How do you decipher code written in an alien, presumably an alien language?
Eric, he's a genius.
Oh, okay.
He's got glasses. I don't know if you noticed.
I know. He's like that smart chipmunk.
Simon.
Yes. You want to put Donatello in glasses because he's a nerd. That's fine. He's got to be wearing like James Worthy goggles because he's an athlete too. You know what I mean?
True.
He's
That's going to fall right off his head.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. I didn't notice if they were like tied on in the back or taped up.
I think
something.
They were taped up in the front from damage.
That's true.
Yeah, so he needs to figure it out.
Sweet James Worthy reference, by the
way. No problem. I think I like this movie a little less than you guys. It was funny. I was sitting in a theater next to this woman and her kids, and when my favorite part of the whole movie was when April... because of the reaction was that April for some reason dresses like a schoolgirl to get somebody's bullshit whatever.
Oh yeah,
and the woman next to me just goes, "Oh come on!"
Yeah, well, she's not wrong.
She isn't.
That's
wrong.
Like the one part of the movie that's kind of not for kids because it's a very like sexy Megan Fox walking through Grand Central.
It's a Hooters
Central.
Commercial, you know. It's
Which,
like, all right.
But surprisingly, yeah. I mean, that kind of kicks off your movie, and it kind of lessens as we go. In the first movie, I thought there was way more of that.
There was.
Well, because so many people in that movie are trying to fuck her. Like that whole movie is people trying to have sex with April O'Neil,
people
turtle or otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is not that. Also, what's weird, though, in this movie, she's definitely just like a detective for the Turtles until the very end when she has a microphone in her hand and she's somehow still a reporter.
Did Whoopi Goldberg get executed between the two movies? Is that just,
I totally forgot she was in
there.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know about executed. She certainly didn't return for the sequels. Oh, I don't know where the character wound up.
The Foot Clan have her on her knees, and she's just like, where are those turtles?
Yeah,
they never come.
Listen, that's how you start Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, right, with Whoopi Goldberg's execution. It's a foot soldier, and he's doing the thing where it's like two swords, like two lightsabers in episode three.
And he's addressing a camera. It's sort of like an ISIS video.
Yeah, dude, you gotta reference ISIS in a Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, the stakes are abnormally high in this Ninja Turtles adventure. Wow.
You know what's kind of great about this movie is that Shredder's kind of just not in it.
And even to the point which annoyed me was at the end where Krang's like, I'm going to freeze you for some reason and put you in my toy chest. And I was like,
well, the thing is about that, I'm like, oh, this is what's good about this is that in that third movie, he's going to defrost Shredder and be like,
you were right, Shredder. We need a partnership.
Yeah, also the thing that could happen in this third movie is you unfreeze whatever other gleep-glops you got floating around in that thing. Because I thought what you were going to see was like a Raiders of the Lost Ark-esque like warehouse, and it was like all these frozen things. Like, oh, is Ace Duck in there?
Or that cheetah with the basketball jersey, right?
Top man.
Exactly.
But you know what's good about this? Another thing that's kind of good about this movie
is... It'd be great if the Battletoads were down there.
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, that would be kind of cool.
Will Arnett, they learn how to use him in this movie. In the first movie, he was just another person trying to shtup Megan Fox.
Oh, big time.
And like apparently he's taken the credit for Shredder. I mean, it kind of makes no sense. I see Steve shaking his head at me.
Steve's like, you know, the logic in this Ninja Turtles movie is incredibly flawed.
But it's Will Arnett playing like, you know, like the
kind of a joke.
High confidence, joke-ish character.
Yes. Yeah. The first movie, he's way more of like just a horny goofball, which doesn't... It's very
weird.
Close to what he normally does, but it was just a little bit off.
I kind of like the gag of him trying to get that surveillance camera and the wires going all over the place.
Oh, he just pulls the cord out and it goes all the way around the room. Yeah, that was kind of funny.
It got me going.
You know what I kind of like in this movie is that the Technodrome flies. It doesn't have to like come out of the ground or whatever.
I got to say that I was like, you know, jaded sitting through this movie with a big hot rump for most of it. But when the fucking Technodrome has little eyeball on top of it for no reason, like, oh my. Because I just imagined it was going to be like gray, Avengers, gray, whatever.
I thought they were going to like, it's an aircraft carrier now. You know, the fact that
Sam Jackson standing on it.
The fact that they're even doing a Technodrome was getting my nerd nostalgia, and that's tainting my view of the movie, I understand.
What?
Yeah.
Is there a stinger in this movie or no? I didn't
see. No, I sat there. Okay. There's oh, really? Approximately zero stingers.
I drove away.
Oh, yeah, you saw it at a drive-in.
It was great.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was my first real full-on drive-in experience. No trailers, which I appreciated.
Oh, you just get right to it, huh?
Just
pickups, huh?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Bravo, Steve.
Yeah, there were a couple of those.
I thought that Bebop and Rock, like, it was fun to finally see them, I'll be honest. Even though, like, I was kind of bummed that there wasn't a real Bebop. Like, Bebop and Rocksteady are fighting lame-ass Stephen Amell, Casey Jones, which I have a real problem with.
He's terrible.
That is the weakest part of the movie. Casey Jones, why bother?
Yep.
Have him be a dude. Mm-hmm. Have him be some dude, because he's not Casey Jones. He's Casey Jones for the first, like, 10 minutes of that movie. One scene with a hockey stick.
Yeah.
And then he's just a fucking cop. Like, who cares?
Right, he was the cop that lost Shredder, so...
Great. You know, he's not even a cop. He's a corrections officer that someday hopes he can be a detective.
And oh, by the way, Laura Linney, huh?
Oh man, that's embarrassing, huh?
I could not even believe it when she walked into this movie. I started laughing out loud.
She has to say the Shredder so much. She doesn't have to say Krang, thankfully.
She has to say Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
And then it's like a little cartoon Laura Linney at the end, too.
Oh, right, because they've all got like little cartoons during the credits.
Those cartoons look terrible. Now, why?
I thought they looked kind of cool, but whatever.
No, but why did they do like the 80s cartoon, the 80s, early 90s
that
cartoon?
That would have been cool.
Right?
Yeah. That would have been kind of cool.
That would have been cool.
They do play the theme song. I mean, this movie is like, to your point, that's the sort of quote unquote genius of the movie is you get.
Whoa, careful.
You get the kids because it's a kids movie, but you get all the fat man babies, like myself included, that are like, oh my God, that's the fucking Technodrome. And like, you know, it strokes the thing and you go like that.
Yeah, I mean,
which is the grossest way to put that. But yes.
I mean, yeah, it was me and another obese man in the theater, and that was it. I saw it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, which is kind of the perfect way to see that. Like, I saw the first one in theaters too, but it was like a nooner on a Saturday, and it was just me and a ton of kids, and I felt weird.
That was me. There was a ton of kids in this.
Yeah, it was just like, let me just be here, like, with this nostalgia. Let me just dip into this franchise that I still love, you know, kind of a thing. And, you know, it paid off nicely. I'll tell you this. You know what I despise more than anything, just to go back to Bebop and Rocksteady, because I'm nowhere near done with these people? Well, these former people, now mutants.
Who are so thrilled to be turned into monsters.
Which is bizarre.
They love being turned into monsters, which is weird.
They're looking at their dicks, which is a very weird scene. Well, they're excited about their monster dicks.
Steve, you turn into a giant pig or a giant rhino. You're looking at your dick.
Well, yeah.
We might all be looking at
it. I mean, a rhinoceros penis I kind of understand, but like, does a warthog have like a big penis?
Well, there's got to be something, right? Don't you want to see what's there?
I guess, yeah, it's not so much that I'd be like, it's huge. I'd be like, I got to see what it looks like.
No. Oh, man, I can't have sex with a human being ever again.
Wait, what do you mean you can't? You could. You shouldn't.
There's videos out there that prove otherwise.
Lord. Right, the movie Zoo.
Yeah, just ask that guy from Zoo. Follow up with the federales that got him.
That's a major through line throughout our podcast.
It
if
certainly
you're a new
is.
Listener.
Find that anywhere else in the podcast world, gentle listener.
I was going to say, you have to ask the guy from Zoo, you got a Ouija board handy?
Oh, poor Mr. Hands.
He had unfinished business, huh?
He lives on through podcasts like this. What a legend. No, here's the thing. One, yeah, I don't understand why you hired this wrestler, Sheamus. I mean, whatever. Sure. It doesn't matter. But, like, I was confused just thinking back. Like, was Rocksteady supposed to be an Irish gentleman?
Didn't he think he was,
so.
Like, Finnish or something?
No, well, it's some stupid gag that they make.
Right,
no,
yeah. It's all bullshit.
They were both like, you know, Staten Island bros. It was like the Toidles, you know what I mean? Like,
and that's they kind of weren't doing that in this movie.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Sheamus wasn't, but...
I mean, they're in love with each other, right? Like, that's the whole thing.
Because
the second you get out of jail with your buddy... You're going to go to a bar with your buddy?
And then they're talking about, like, well, with that shredder out of the way, we could rule the city as king and queen.
All I was thinking about was fucking Laura Linney and Sean Penn at the end of Mystic River when she's like, you could be the king of this town, and I'll be your queen, and together we'll rule this block.
Rocksteady.
Also, fucking Rocksteady is calling Bebop Biebs throughout this entire movie. What is that shit?
Well, the weird thing about, to your point, hiring Sheamus, who's a wrestler, who I don't think is that bad.
He's got good screen presence.
But, like, you have to realize you're hiring a voice actor for 80% of it. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
And he's not that. So it's all, like, not really great, compelling voice acting performances.
Right. They should have juiced up Frank Welker.
I bet you Frank Welker would give you a mean Rocksteady. He could do both Bebop and Rocksteady.
It's true.
Fucking one paycheck, dude.
You know what?
Streamline that shit.
Hey, give him Krang as well.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it right in.
Also, though, why is Bebop morbidly obese in this movie?
That's a good question.
He's just like swinging this fat fucking warthog gut all over the place.
And he loves it.
They love that they're monsters. He loves that he's somehow morbidly obese. The actor playing him in human form is not morbidly obese.
Liz is like, oh, I'm a piggy. I love being a piggy. And I'm like, are you okay, man? Like,
it's so weird.
Weird, wild stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but there's no the action in these movies kind of bug me. Because at least in those, I haven't watched the third one in a while. Stay tuned to Rochester when I rewatch it. But like the action's kind of fun because it's puppet suits and we're doing karate. We're fighting ninjas the whole time.
Sure.
This is like we're always falling down a building and three other things are happening.
Right, we're jumping off of airplanes and the camera's cutting every half a second. I hear you.
Because like the Bebop, there should be a Bebop Rocksteady Turtles fight that's just in an alleyway with a bunch of fucking pipes.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, a real, you know, what we call around here a New York street brawl.
Exactly. Like
that's what I wanted. You don't get it. And that, to speak to the thing about jumping out of planes, that was the thing that bothered me, is that this movie, besides the fact that it injects way more characters into it and the stakes are like a little higher, it is just kind of a carbon copy sequel.
Yeah.
Because that whole sequence of jumping out of the plane when the turtles go to South America briefly.
Which almost, I was just like, you know, you got Bebop and Rocksteady driving a tank through the jungle. And I did have the thought, I was like, this is like an episode of the cartoon. Like they would do this in the cartoon.
Yes. But then it turns into this like big river scene thing. And that's just a copy of them sliding down the snowy mountain from the first movie.
Yeah they're always falling down something in these movies. Like just stand still and let's fight each other.
At least they go to a location that has the water that would be needed.
Yeah, actually, believable geography.
Right, because in the first movie, they're like, we're right outside New York City, and it's like the Rocky Mountains.
Fucking which sugar bush.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
My question is, how do they, so like they fall out like mid-trip and like all that crap happens, and then Rocksteady's got the tank, et cetera, they get whatever the crap they need to get, and the turtles fall down a waterfall. You don't see Bebop and Rocksteady again until they're back in the city busting up Casey Jones. Like, did they like get a flight? Did they get on Delta? Like, how did that work? Like,
yeah, you're just two monsters.
Yeah, like, sorry,
you probably can't fly coach.
I guess they had to get like the Foot Clan to pick them up.
Hey, maybe they just slept their way north. You know, they pretended to be like some sex workers. Find those weirdos, dude. Find the Mr. Hands of the world.
Maybe they were like you know, driving around in like a classic 50s car or motorcycle, doing like an on the road, but like reverse.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Getting into all kinds of interesting relationships.
Get Carlo Marx in there, see what he's doing.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's kind of weird is, so I appreciate, not only did we get Krang, even though his voice sucks, but we got the Krang suit, except they kind of try to modify this a little bit. They try to cool it up a bit. And it kind of just winds up looking like an overweight Terminator. Because it's all like silvery and shit, but it's just like fat still.
Yeah, like I was kind of okay with that because I'm just like, as much as I love that stupid human suit he has in the cartoon.
That human suit looked like your weird uncle in a bathing suit. You
exactly,
know?
Which I would appreciate seeing on screen, not going to lie.
Did he ever like
But that doesn't make sense really in the modern.
Did he ever like go to the bank in the cartoon, like put on a suit and just like pretend to be a person?
Oh, I think he
did. He?
I think everyone's wearing a trench coat at some point. I think there must be something.
I don't think it was as sophisticated as like tying a tie. But he probably put a trench coat on and a big rain hat, you know, kind of enough.
I'm going to have to talk to my manager. Hold on. This guy's talking out of his dick.
One thing, a prediction for the next movie is that Bebop and Rocksteady have to be amputees. Because
what happens?
The end of Bebop and Rocksteady is Casey Jones tricks them into going into like a shipping crate and closes the door and throws a grenade, and they both go grenade, and you hear the explosion, but you don't see what happened. But like close quarters, grenade, like they're alive, but yikes!
But I mean, how are they? I mean, because it's a kids movie, but like Jesus, it's like Saving Private Ryan in there.
They're just covered in soot. And they dust each other up.
Right.
But you know, I would appreciate hooks for limbs.
Oh,
in
I
the
like
future,
that idea.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Jesus. Make them even more of monsters?
Exactly. Yes.
Or Bebop and Rocksteady can star in a remake of I Know What You Did Last Summer. They're just hook hand monsters.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, here is my absolute most favorite thing about this movie.
Please.
It now, Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, now with 99% less disgusting Splinter.
Yeah.
Dude, Tony Shalhoub is barely in this movie, and thank God for that.
You know what I've noticed about that is in the first movie, he was like all oily and disgusting.
Yeah.
And this one, he's just like got fur. Like, it's just like
I think he took a bath.
But it's just like, that's what I appreciated maybe the most about this movie, is they kind of de-disgustinged it a little bit.
Yeah, they did. They did a little course correction. They did that. The turtles are definitely less juiced.
Yeah.
And even to the point where, like, because Donatello is supposed to be the nerd, he's like noticeably smaller than the other three.
Yeah.
And like, it's like clearly delineated, like Raph is the biggest one because he's supposed to be the muscle. Like, they did work on the turtle look a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell them apart. And like,
yeah,
even Leonardo, you know, like they toned him down a little too.
What I hated though was this was yet another like the turtles just fighting over like leadership and whatnot, but it never went anywhere because it would be like, you're fucking dead to me.
Oh, God.
And then like the computer would flash and they'd just be like, what's going on, Donnie? And like then that conflict is over with.
That is actually the thing I hated the most about this movie. The whole like subplot of like, we could be human, like, God, shut up.
I mean,
but it's gross, but there's no human element to them anyway, right? I mean, maybe.
They never were humans, so it doesn't make any sense. Well, no, I guess the idea is...
Splinter's jizz, like, mixed in with the ooze when they...
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Wow, look at our mind reader over here.
Baxter Stockman gives this bullshit thing. He's like, oh, inside every person is an animal. You happen to be a warthog. You happen to be a rhinoceros.
Not only that, he says it's from our ancestors. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I didn't appreciate how Tyler Perry is kind of just like kidnapped out of this movie by Shredder.
He needs to turn into a bug. You know what?
That's your third movie right there.
Yeah, I mean, you could honestly make him be like the villain of it. I really think Tyler Perry was good in this movie.
I really do, and he could carry
the villain role.
He was better than Shredder or Krang.
I thought Shredder's like final words to him were going to be like, because you know that your inner animal is nothing but a measly housefly, and like kind of like hint at that, like set that up.
Well, he does say so. He almost does it because he's like, oh, you know, blah blah blah, and I'm gonna be a king, and you're gonna be. And I'm like, oh, call him a bug, call him a bug. And
I thought, footnote. And I'm like, damn it, fucking yeah. I did. It was the exact same moment of the movie. I was like, fuck you, footnote.
I thought he was gonna like caress his cheek and say bug.
Oh yeah, he's gonna curse
him. You know, like Thine. Bug. Yeah. You are bad.
Yeah, not enough Shredder. I didn't like Shredder. I've never liked Shredder in these movies.
Was better in this movie than the last movie, because at least in this movie, he functioned as a human being.
Yeah.
Like, in the first movie, he was just, like, the metal monster, and he didn't really get anything about him.
He did have, like, a super suit thing kind of going on.
Also, he clearly died at the end of that movie.
Oh, yeah, he's murdered.
I mean, I know they keep killing him in all these movies.
Oh, yeah, but he, like, fucking falls off the Empire State Building or whatever, right?
Yeah. And it's amazing that, like, what was that? The first movie was like, let's poison New York with this gas or some shit.
Something. Yeah.
And the stakes felt so high and so stupid. And they're higher in this movie, but it feels more natural in a way.
Yeah, I guess because it, like, what he's doing in that first movie is a semi-realistic terrorist attack.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
This movie is an alien bringing a warship from another dimension.
Called the Technodrome, which is a place that you may or may not have had 20 years ago.
That's the thing. There's basically in this world two kinds of Ninja Turtles things. Like, those early gritty comics, which are based in reality-ish, which is what that first movie is.
Yeah.
And then there's just shit from the cartoon, which is Bonkers Town.
Yes.
And this movie fully embraces Bonkers Town and doesn't for a second try to be like gritty, realistic, whatever.
Except when they mention casually that Shredder is in jail for 32 counts of murder one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Right,
that's a legit thing.
Well, is that like
that's a legit thing?
Yeah. Tell me about it. But are those casualties from his attack, or are those like Foot Clan members that he had executed?
Ooh. Wow, that sounds pretty dangerous.
I don't know, man. I mean, working for Shredder is like working for Pol Pot.
See, they should address that in the next movie, and we should get the robot foot soldiers that blow up.
Yes, that's more fun. Because are they just regular dudes? I forget. Cause not the Foot Clan in this movie.
Because Shredder doesn't want any more murder counts against him. That's why he develops the robot army.
Mm-hmm. I cannot stop executing my foot soldiers, so we must make them robots. Nobody cares if I kill a robot.
See, Krang can make you robots. Come on.
Yeah, he could easily develop
robots. I'll make you robots.
That's so much better than Brad Garrett.
Yeah, see? I'm available for the sequel.
That's it. You want a course correct?
Here's the thing. The moment in this movie when they do come out of the shadows.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it's a mistake because that whole sequence is Laura Linney being like, I guess I'm siding with Ninja Turtles. It's like, come on.
The NYPD public affairs person would be like, how are we going to rebrand these fucking things? There's no way Ninja Turtles is going to be what they're called.
And it's kind of, it's weird. Like, the turtles have like a fucking police escort.
But at the end, they do say we're going to stay in the shadows because that's where we, you know, only like a select few of people, now like 150 cops know about the turtles. My favorite being that first cop in the police station where like there's that moment where everyone's like, oh fuck, what's going on? That guy goes, they're monsters. They're monsters. And it's like, what on earth?
I was laughing during this part too, because then like I don't know, one of them, like Donatello or someone's just like, and they were saying we were monsters and they had hate in their hearts.
They had hate. Yeah, dude, he's talking about hate.
They had pure hate in their hearts.
Yeah, it was kind of awesome.
<They're> monsters.
There's also way less like we love pizza in this movie.
Yeah.
I kind of appreciated like the turtles going to the Knick game.
I thought that was silly but fun.
I appreciated that it was the Knicks and not the Nets.
Yes.
I thought
if it was the Nets, I would have walked out of the stadium.
Walked out of the stadium. Oh, wow.
I saw it at Madison Square Garden.
Ninja Turtles viewing party at MSG.
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of funny. I love what's his face slipping on the piece of pizza.
Oh, DeAndre Jordan, and then the ref's like, "Welcome to New York." No, the game would stop.
Yeah, well, it would be like, I don't know. It would just be disgusting. Like, who threw that piece of pizza? Yeah. Like, can we just everybody? It wouldn't be like clearly it fell from the rafters where four mutant turtles are watching the game.
I don't appreciate that the pizza is never New York style in these movies. It's all like puffy Pizza Hut.
Yeah. Which is like the first
Well, they're
movies.
Eating Domino's in that first movie. I know. Which is disgusting.
It's yeah.
I mean, we have Domino's in this town.
Sure.
And maybe like cuz they're disgusting mutants, that's what they would eat.
Exactly. But listen, we totally dodged a bullet, man. I mean, this is 2016. We could have had that fucking pizza war criminal Papa John Shatter fucking cameo in this movie.
Him running down onto the court, holding a bunch
like,
of pies.
Oh, hey, everybody, it's me, Papa John. And if the Knicks score over 100 points tonight, you get fucking 20% off a pizza.
Hey, I kind of look like a Ninja Turtle. I'm Peyton Manning. Can I be in this movie? Hey, Papa, look at those turtles. You can paint me green. I could be the fifth Ninja Turtle. Wasn't there a girl in that other series? I could put a bow in my hair.
My neck doesn't turn like the turtles, too.
And then he kisses Papa John.
I'm a girl Ninja Turtle now.
But he did kiss him after the Super Bowl,
right? Oh,
right.
Yeah,
Papa John was there.
Papa John came first, then his wife. Dude, listen.
Did you hear that? What was it? Mike Francesa did was talking about it.
Oh, no. Oh, of Mike and the Mad Dog.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's the hilarious thing. I think you could find it on YouTube or something. But he's just like, and the first guy. And the first guy you kiss can't be Papa John. It can't be. He's like flipping the fuck out about it. It's hilarious.
Dude, Mike Francesa's tirades and like him falling asleep on the air, that's just some fucking great entertainment.
He's a New York treasure. He should be the next Turtles movie. Let's. I mean, Carmelo Anthony's nice in this movie.
Sure.
And shame on the NFL for having him on the field. I don't know why Papa John was on the field.
I mean, you just can't be in a Ninja Turtle movie. It's all I'm saying.
It can't be.
Ninja Turtles are not real. The Knicks, that's a real team.
That I love it because now we're getting into like Larry King Ghostbusters territory.
Yes, that's exactly what it would be.
or Casey Jones or Casey Kasem. Like, and then the Ninja Turtles dance the night away with a bunch of beautiful babes at the defeat the Foot Clan.
Now this is the it's the greatest example of privilege for the rich at Yankee Stadium. If you want to look up to the Jim Beam box, there's the four fucking Ninja Turtles taking up space. I got a poor family out here, family of five, can't see the game because the Ninja Turtles got to be in the stadium in that Jim Beam box. I got a real problem with that. They dance the night away with a bunch of models. Is this my job?
Now the Yes Network does carry Ninja Turtles footage. It's just,
they're just airing Ninja Turtles cartoons.
All your favorite New York sports teams, Knicks, Nets, Yankees, Ninja Turtles, Giants, Jets, Ghostbusters.
And shame on the Ninja Turtles for having them on the field. I don't know why Papa John was on the field.
Dude, it just goes to show that like people will do anything for free pizza. Like that's like Papa John is the he's like the guy on your floor freshman year that you despise but you make friends with because he's got a car.
Yeah.
That's fucking Papa John. He's the pizza king of America. You make friends with Papa John, you got free pizza the rest of your life. Why else would you hang out with him? Why would you let him on the field?
First person you kiss can't be Papa John. That's all I'm saying.
It cannot be the first person you kiss.
It is the funniest thing in the world. And I actually on the best show they repeat that he kept on repeating that clip, Tom Sharpling, forever, and it was just so funny.
So yeah, I'm sure we'll get a third Turtles movie at some point.
Did this movie make money? Probably, right?
It did okay.
Yeah,
it did okay. It I'll tell you what, there's a new like Turtles game coming out that looks pretty cool.
All right, I'm into that.
It's cool.
Really?
It's cool. They're like drawn pretty coolly.
Anyone tell me, give me some Twitter interactions whether or not I should be watching this new cartoon.
Is there a new cartoon?
There's always a new cartoon.
But is this the same one on Nickelodeon that Roseanne is the Krang Prime?
I think so, but it might be like Generation 4.
I'm going to guess you don't need to see that.
Probably not. It's a Nickelodeon's film movie.
They got their fingers all over this turtle
and,
soup.
A couple of Chinese conglomerates and a Middle Eastern firm.
I was very interested in the beginning. Those opening credits are like, all right.
It's so weird. I was like, hey, Paramount, is it this fucking hard for you to raise money these days?
For a fucking Ninja Turtle movie.
Did someone buy the Ninja Turtles?
Well, what's weird is...
That should be like crowdfund. Have America. And another thing, church group. We're going to crowdfund to bring the Ninja Turtles back to America.
Well, it's
to America
because
Course he's got to be a black Baxter Stockman. Oh, God damn it. Kids, close your eyes. I'll tell you when Baxter Stockman's off the screen.
I'll tell you this, an interesting thing about like Ninja Turtles rights issues. So like these two new movies.
A March in the Streets.
Well, it's like theatrical rights.
Oh, gotcha.
So, like, these two new movies, it's, like, Paramount, Viacom, because, like, Nickelodeon's involved in that and whatever.
Yeah.
Those first three movies are New Line, which is Warner Brothers. But what's weird is those three movies, Warner Brothers, because I was talking to a programmer friend of mine who was trying to get these movies at his theater in anticipation of this new one. And Warner Brothers doesn't have the rights to these movies, though, and they've reverted back to this Chinese company.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if it's the same Chinese company that had money in this movie, but it would stand
just
to
a,
reason.
Debt collection service.
Oh man, these Chinese Ninja Turtles, that don't even make any sense.
Oh, well, that's WHM on screen for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.